Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 40. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is a Team USA Beach and U24 gold medalist, a D1 college national champion, and was ranked in the top 10 best women club players by UltiWorld for the 2023 season. Introducing Dina Ellie Melick. Dina, thanks for being here. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's very exciting. You have quite the resume, so I'm thrilled to jump in to all of this, all the Frisbee that we'll be discussing tonight. But we have to jump into the first, you know, heavy hitter questions here. If you want to give me your favorite post-tournament meal, what would it be?
Ooh, after a day one, but after like a full tournament, ramen. I think noodles and meats and veggie in one bowl is hard to say no to.
Pretty unbeatable. I like how you have to specify day one, day two. You have it down to a science.
A little bit lighter.
I like it. It's very important. I think everyone has their favorite meal after, so good to hear there. Yeah. But like I just said, you have quite the resume, and I think Frisbee in general is a growing sport, and especially the women's side of Frisbee is growing, which is very exciting. It's an exciting time to be in the sport when it is growing nationally. And recently I put out this poll on, you know, the podcast Instagram. I was like, who do people want to see come on the podcast next? And there was such an overwhelming response to just hear more stories of women's players, which I think further testifies that there is a desire and a need for women in the sport and to hear these stories. So again, it's really exciting to have you on here. And if I can just get your initial thoughts on the growth of women in the sport of ultimate, and especially being someone that is at the top of the sport, like, how do you view this? What are your thoughts there?
I think I've seen a shift in recent years for women's sports in general. You're seeing it with like basketball, volleyball, soccer, and it's something that I wasn't exposed to as a kid. When I was growing up, I was watching sports, but there was never a focus on women's sports or just like non-male athletes. So growing up, I played a ton of sports, like every youth sport there was, every high school sport that I could get into. But when we were like watching sports or any of the sports that I was exposed to, it was all men's sports. There was no non-men centric excitement around sports like I've seen grow now. And I think that's really valuable. I feel like athletes lose their passion at a young age when they don't see that kind of exposure. Passion for non-men sports has always been there, but I think the cultures that we were raised into here in the U.S. at least don't put men's and women's sports on the same platform, and I think that's very detrimental to how we view women's sports. I think I'm very lucky in the fact that I found Frisbee. I think because I was like a very talented athlete in high school, but I never thought that I could like pursue a sport full time. I thought that was like a men's thing if you were really good, and I was just kind of going to enjoy it while I could. So finding Frisbee in college was like, oh, you can play a sport that you love and excel in a sport that you love, and it might not be like your life's passion, but yeah, seeing how much more traction the love of women's sports and like has grown feels really good to be a part of that.
That's right. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there with just the idea of like role models, right? And it's always good to have someone to look to see that this can be done, dreams can be achieved, and I think it's becoming true in this situation. And I guess you could say you've become, in a way, a role model for other athletes in this sport. You've won gold medals for Team USA, and you've won in D1, big college scene. You've won at so many different levels, and you've achieved a lot. Do you feel that you like kind of have reached the top of the sport? Do you feel like as if you're that role model, or are you just kind of coming along playing Frisbee and continuing the ride? How are you feeling with all this?
I definitely feel, most of the time I just kind of feel like I'm along for the ride. I definitely don't feel like I'm at the top of the sport. I feel like that's a goal of mine. to get there eventually, or to at least like pop in and out of the top when applicable, I guess, for my for how I'm doing. But yeah, there's so many role models that I get to play with now that have been my role models since I entered college. So to even be in that, like the lower end of that pot is very an honor for me.
Yeah, like you said, role models are incredibly important. You're playing with the people that you've looked up to for a while. So that must be honestly a really surreal feeling. But I kind of want to back it up here a little bit. You mentioned that you first got into the sport in college. So could you just share with me your story? How did you initially come upon this sport, and what was your interactions like in the early years?
Yeah, so initially, like out of high school, I got offered a scholarship to do track at like a very small D3 school, Willamette. I think they're in Oregon. But I didn't love it there. And I think I wanted to stay in California. And so I was like, okay, maybe just to like play sports, I'll join club soccer or something. And, I missed the tryout for there was some like mandatory meeting for like all the new students that I attended. And while leaving that meeting, there was a line of booths on either side of some fair or something, and there was a frisbee booth, and I think it was the men's team that I passed by, but it was like, well, okay, I can't play soccer, I can't do track. We've played frisbee a couple times in track for fun, which is not actually frisbee, but I had good memories of it. So yeah, after the first tryout or first practice, really was very locked in.
That's incredible. It just kind of fell into your lap. And it's funny how a single decision can lead you in a certain path in life. So that's incredible. You discovered it in that way. And walk me through those next couple of years of progression. You guys, I believe, looking at the team record of the school you attended, you know, kind of were at the bottom side of the national qualifiers. Even one year, I think when you were there, you guys didn't qualify for nationals, but then you ultimately won college nationals, which some say is, you know, one of the greatest achievements you can have in the sport. So talk to me about the progression of your development in college and the growth of the team that you're with that led you to this championship.
Yeah. So, in high school, I'd been very used to being on teams that were like not very good. We were used to losing. So that was kind of normal for me. So entering this team was like, wow, I love the people. I love the sport. It's cool to learn something new. I didn't really care that we were losing. I wanted to win, obviously. And the seniors every year were like very, very bought into winning. And they had also like built this program. So yeah, the team was struggling. We didn't make it to nationals my first 2 years. So 2014 and 2015, I think. We came really close in 2015, and that was like our the excitement of being right on the edge of this big thing that so many of us had never experienced before. Personally, I was just very I was pretty athletic. I did not have the throws. It took a couple of years for me to really understand the strategy of the sport. But yeah, once we kept building the program under Carlo and Alicia, they have a system that worked so well for us. And by the end, we were like this unit that was in like perfect balance, and everybody knew exactly what was supposed to be happening next on the field. So yeah, it was kind of like, it just kind of came naturally to make it to nationals and then to do a little better each year. And then finally the last year was like, we had most of the same personnel from the year before. And it just, yeah, it was a really, you couldn't have written it better. And I think about that all the time. Like there's no perfect ending besides that one. And it did happen, which was very lucky for us. Not lucky. We worked really hard, but still lucky.
There's so much hard work. Yeah. things fall into place. Talking to so many other players, you know, whether they're in college or whether they've moved on and play club or play UFA and so on, they look back and they speak of the college days. Like, it was incredible. You did life with these people, your teammates, you got meals together, you lived with them. And a lot of them kind of share the idea that winning that college championship, it means so much because you only have 4 years to do it, right? If you go to club, you had years and years and do it. Speak to me from your experience. Like, it's just listening to you, it sounds like it still holds a very special place to you. You're looking back, you know, what is your memory? Like, what is this takeaway from this incredible achievement you've had?
Yeah, I think I'm still, some of my best friends are still from that team. Yeah, it's something that as Frisbee players, we're so lucky to have this like automatic group of people that you're not necessarily like best friends with all of them, but you have a connection with that you can just surround yourself with if you choose to or if it feels right. And I think for a lot of the players on my college team, we really bought into that and it turned into this really, yeah, it's so rare where everybody's like kind of stuck in the same place for the same amount of time. It's different from a club team where people flip-flop. I am one of those people who you go from club team to club team and you build a little bit in 1 year, but then maybe you switch the club team or you lose a lot of people and it just becomes different. It's not the same as like you lose some seniors every year, but in college, but yeah, the team culture stays the same. And actually I've been on a couple of club teams recently, Flipside and Fury, that both, they harbor this team culture that has stayed pretty similar. And it does have that same open arm, welcoming, like, yeah, we can work on this big thing together. And it's very, it's different from college, obviously, and how rewarding that 5 year, 4 year, whatever it is, like culmination point was, because you know it's ending. And I guess in club, you know, there's an ending too, but I'm not looking for that yet. So
yeah, the ending you could stretch on for a little bit longer. Then you have masters and go to, it's a different world, but college Frisbee, yeah. I think it's really special. It's really unique. So yeah, incredible to hear that side of your story. If you just want to share next is what was your progression with the sport following college? You know, you obviously got into the club scene and have done very well there, but just talk to me, what was your next step in just growing with the sport? Because they do say college and club are very different. So just talk to me, what was your next progression?
Luckily, right after college, right after winning the championship, I couldn't be sad for very long because there was a world tournament. World teams, I feel like, are a whole nother beast entirely, where I didn't really feel like, it's a very brief time that you spend with the people and you can bond with them a lot, but you don't have that same long-term growth or buy-in. But I went to play club in San Diego, I think, for a few years, for a couple years. And then I played with Fury in 2021. And I think that's where I really found the most growth that I had gone through since college. Under Carlo and Alicia in college was really like, that kind of coaching is so special. And I feel like I am the player I am now because of that. And so continuing on under Maddie Singh in Fury and all the role models that I've had in Frisbee my whole life, to play under them and with them is like a whole different level, especially going into a club where play is a little different. You need a new set of skills to add on to what you already had. And yeah, I think this year and last year, I felt like I was finally finding my place within a club team.
We'll definitely dive in a lot more of that club stuff, but some of you mentioned is that world experience, right? You played in that U24 mm-hmm. team. You also played in the beach tournament for Team USA. So I just think when people have experiences like that, it's tremendously special. You get to wear USA across your chest. You represent not just a city or a college, but an entire nation. That's tremendous, I think. So share with me what those experiences are like. Two different scenes, U24, the beach tournament. But how impactful, how important were those tournaments to you?
So being on a U.S. Team USA team is kind of complex for me. I feel like I don't personally align with a lot of what the U.S. has been doing for decades. And so I think it becomes a different honor for me rather than like I'm representing my country. I was just talking on a call this weekend with other Worlds tryout players who were expressing that they feel like more that they're representing their community or what brought them here. And for me, it's that, and it's like my dad always wanted me to reach the top in whatever I was doing. So this to me feels like you've proven yourself in college, you're proving yourself in club, you're working hard all the time to like get to what is considered like the highest level or like the highest honor of a Frisbee team. So that's kind of how I view it. U24s was interesting because that was my first Worlds year and I was very shy as a club player. And I think as a Worlds player, I was like, well, I'm just here to like enjoy the time and I won't be like a flashy player. I'll just kind of move about the field where I'm needed and make space for others. And that was tough to go from, you know, playing every single point or every other point in college to like once every 4 or 5 points and not really touching the disc and trying to find value in other things. Like Nancy Sun once told me to fall in love with shutdown defense. Like your person didn't touch the disc, that was awesome. So yeah, that's the mentality that I took into Beach Worlds, which that was also a little tough playtime wise. We had an O-line, but we didn't need to be used so frequently. But I did feel like I was able to take more space on the field as a player and take pride in other things besides what I did on the field and falling in love with the team. So yeah, that was definitely a great experience.
It's neat. Is each of these different experiences you've had, you've been able to take away different pieces, you know, improve your game, improve just who you are as a person, I think, too. Like the mental side of, even if you're not touching the disc every point, you still have an impact on the field. It's a team sport for a reason. And I think those are really important takeaways for anyone out there is what is your role and to own that completely. And that's how you can be the best possible teammate. So, yeah, obviously tremendous experiences there. And kind of takes us to where we are now. You're preparing for this upcoming season. You're playing in the Western Ultimate League and you're getting ready for that season, which starts really soon. So kind of walk me through where are you guys at as a team, where are you at individually, and how do you prepare for this season?
So, yeah, I'm really excited for the season of Western Ultimate League this year. I played with Super Bloom last year. A lot of them are my college teammates. Alicia Stown is the coach this year, working with Carlo. So it's kind of got a similar feeling to like the warmth and the excitement from college. And yeah, because I'm traveling, I haven't gone to all the practices, but the weekend that I did go to last time was almost rained out all the way, which, you know, we played in the rain, which is good for Seattle. But yeah, I think the WL puts in so much work and so much time to give this platform to women and non-binary athletes. And it feels like such a joy to get to participate in this league. Again, we are very lucky as Frisbee players to have this at all, and to have it on this kind of a stage with these people is very rewarding. So yeah, if you or anybody you know feels like sponsoring a team or anything like that, give us a call.
Big shout out Western Ultimate there. I love it. And I think it's just a testament, again, is the growth of the sport to have a platform. You look at some of these teams, it has just absolute top talent out there, and it's an exciting venue. It's exciting to watch with a great just cast of teams, cast of characters. It's really exciting. So it's awesome you have that, and the season's ramping up here really shortly. So for everyone out there, highly encouraged, go check it out and cheer you guys on. So really just wishing you guys the best of luck.
Thanks.
In a different area here, you are a sponsored athlete by Be Ultimate, which I think is really cool. And I would love to hear the story of how that came about.
I actually remember. So it's been a lot of years with them. They're a great group of people. I wear their sweaters all the time. I remember sitting in a lecture hall in like my sophomore or junior year or something, and I got an email like asking me all these details and like if I was interested and representing the brand, and I just kind of hopped in, and they've been really cool. So yeah, I've stuck with them till now.
That's incredible. Yeah, not everyone can say that. What is it like working with them? You know, you've been with them for a number of years. It obviously must be a really special, you know, relationship with you that you have. And they're posting all these highlight videos of you out there. And that's pretty cool to see yourself on these platforms. But you've been with a number of years. What is this relationship grown to?
So in the beginning, it was pretty, it was very welcoming, but it wasn't very, I didn't get to meet the other athletes. And in the last several years, they've made a really big effort to introduce us to each other. We spent time together after, some of us spent time together after the last world cycle. And it's cool to be in the same group as those athletes. So yeah, they're just, I think they're great. I think the mic'd up bit was really funny. yeah, it just kind of feels like a little group of friends who hangs out every once in a while and gets to share their videos on social media with a lot of pride. So
I love it. And talking about those videos, I came across a video of you running some marking drills and explaining some things. Great video, I thought. And if you just want to give, you know, your take on how to be a great mark, how to be a great defender in ultimate, what are some pieces of advice you'd share?
Yeah, so actually, I'm helping coach, I'm like a assistant coach for Davis, and something that I'm trying to encourage people to do is to be a stronger mark. So coming up with the words for how to suggest to someone how to improve their mark has been on my mind a lot. But I think the top takeaways are like, what are your team goals for the mark? Like, is it a no around mark, or is it a flat mark? But I think the things that you can always do is stay active, and stay close quickly. And once you feel comfortable marking up on someone or with your mark in general, taking those little risks to see, oh, can I get a little block here? Can I bait this inside and then stick a hand out? Or I don't know. I think it's a beautiful evolving part of my Frisbee game and in Frisbee in general.
Goes back to the same idea. Own your role, right? And your role can be really wide, or it can be a singular moment like that. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be really good at in this moment, and I'm going to give everything I have to it. And there's so many little pieces to it. So I learned a thing or two watching the video. I thought it was really well done. So go check it out, everyone out there. But really cool to hear more. And it's really neat that you are in this assistant coach role. That is such a gift. I think when people are at a point in anything in their life where they've like received so much, I think it's wonderful to give then. And it seems as if you're in this position now, you're giving to, you know, the next generation players that are learning the sport in the same spot you did. So what's your mindset going into this coaching? How is it working with this team? You know, break it down for me.
So yes, I jokingly call myself an intern. I feel I've had a little bit of coaching experience, but nothing compared to the head coaches of UC Davis, which are Austin Laurie and Robin Fennig, who are both great coaches with so much passion towards the team and so many great ideas. And so I feel like I'm just learning a bunch from them, and I'm doing a lot of like one-on-one feedback or in whatever spots they need me. So I initially was like, I can probably come to like one practice or two a week. Definitely can't make tournaments because with a new job and a new place, my timing is like kind of messy, but I started going to at least one a week. I've been to a couple tournaments, and I love the team. I love the coaches, and already to see their growth from like the first several practices up until Prez Day this weekend, there's you can see little things clicking, and it's really exciting to be on the other side of a college team.
It's so rewarding when things start to click. I've done coaching not in Frisbee for high school track, and it's so cool to see the progression. And track, it's so easy to time that, right? Because everything's timed, everything's, you know, it's very easy to measure. So But just when people start to click and they understand something, it's very rewarding from a coach's standpoint. So best of luck in that sphere of this Frisbee world. And, you know, you're talking about the growth of the sport. You know, you're coaching now. That's adding value to the sport. You're talking about the Western ultimately. That's a new thing that's been developing and growing. From your standpoint, what's your vision for the growth of women in the sport of ultimate? How would you love to see this take off even more?
Yeah, I think right now it's hard, especially for the Western Ultimate League. Every year they have to fundraise, and it's not a very sustainable model. I think since being in Frisbee and since seeing the work that like the Western Ultimate League and the PUL puts in to all their athletes and to the sustained growth of those leagues, it's like, oh, I wish it would just be easier for them. I wish there was a way that we could, as a community, lift up these leagues. I've seen how beautiful of a space it is for women, non-binary athletes, and it just, the amount of work. I know I said that before, but it's so much effort on the parts of like the individual boards and the commissioner, and it's a lot, but they've created something really beautiful, and I really, maybe more exposure or I don't know. I'm not very good at, I don't know much about like business models, but I guess we need like sponsorships and a way to make it sustainable. So especially to young athletes who don't identify with the men's sports that are shown more frequently historically.
I mean, just listen to you talk. It's pretty clear that you are very passionate about this, right? It's such a wonderful sport. It's such a wonderful community. You've received so much. You've given so much to it. And something that's kind of come up multiple times through this conversation is just the idea of community. You have played on many different teams and many different avenues of the sport of ultimate. But there seems to be a common trend where there is a level of bonding. There is a level of community that is founded on these teams. Talk to me a little bit about the ultimate community in your experience, just how welcoming or inviting it's been to you.
Yeah, it's been great. I've been in a lot of places, not a lot, but, you know, relatively. Leaving the college scene, the San Diego ultimate community is really strong, and it's built on a lot of love, and they have some wonderful leagues and pickups and beach. Similar with LA, there's a pickup that happens on Saturdays in Venice Beach called, I know it because it's on the tip of my tongue, and I've been Rainbow Beach Ultimate, and they play pickup on the beach on Saturdays, and that was really welcoming, and there's leagues that are really welcoming, and then moving to Sacramento and Oakland, and those groups have been really great. I feel already very, like, held by the people in Oakland and also getting to know all the people in Sacramento. It's very rare to have that kind of community in most places that you go. I think I'm pretty introverted most of the time, so I don't think I'd have the same access to good people if I didn't play Frisbee, but I do, and I'm so lucky for that.
It's so true. My own experience, you know, playing in college, even playing in league, everyone's just super friendly. You show up in the field and you start chatting up with complete strangers that were, you know, strangers a few minutes ago and become your teammates for however long. It's really a special community. And I think in sports in general, it's such an avenue to learn life lessons, right? Working hard, especially as a group of people striving towards a goal. There's so many takeaways that form you as a person. Looking back at your own life and, you know, so many different avenues that you've played in, have there been some big lessons or takeaways that have helped form you into who you are today?
There's been a lot of little moments that I've had. The year in 2018, the year before we won nationals, we went in with this mentality of like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to win. We're probably going to win. Like, we're really good. And we went out in pre-quarters in this really, like, we just flubbed the first half and we tried to dig our way out in the second half, and it was just this horrible, like, it ended and we were sitting there and we're like, oh my gosh, it's over this year. There's like, we tried and we didn't get it. And I think if we didn't have that experience, I don't think we could have won in 2019. And yeah, I think that's a very applicable lesson to have learned, that you gotta, I don't know, stay level when you can, and give it your all the time, because you don't, not all the time, but you know, that it's not just gonna come to you. You have to, even when you put in the work, like, things still go wrong, and learning to accept that. I learned about a lot about friendships and relationships, and the importance of finding people that you love and that you care about, and that you can sustain for a long time. And I have a lot of those. Yeah, those I think are the big ones.
There's so much to that. That's why sport is amazing, right? It forms you. It's a team. I think especially too with the ultimate, I think it's probably one of the most truest forms of a team sport, right? You look at like basketball, you can have a single person take over a game, or soccer or hockey. But if you look at Frisbee, it takes at least two people to score. And usually when you involve everyone, things go a little bit better than otherwise. So it's such a gift. It's such a community. There's so many lessons to learn. So very, very good from your end that you can have those takeaways. Now, if you could offer a piece of advice to someone that is trying to get into the sport, maybe at the college scene, just like you did, what would you share?
Ooh, I think the reason that I fell in love with it and stuck with it for so long is that I just bought into it pretty quickly. From the first practice, it was like, you know, being with the people that I was playing with and trying really hard to learn what the sport was about, what the community is about, and getting stronger and working towards a goal. I think if you want to play competitively, that grit needs to be there. So finding that early is very valuable. But if anything, for most people, it's a great way to find a community. So stick with it.
Don't give up too soon. I love it. And this kind of brings us to the close of this interview, though. I just want to open it up. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think we can continue to try and to do better to make it an inclusive sport for everyone, and for those that have a platform, and for those that don't, speaking out for people who need it and who want it. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right now that matters and that we should be speaking out about. So yeah, not faltering on that, and not quitting, and standing up for your teammates and friends and other communities within the sport.
I love it. It takes a lot of work to be the best version of ourselves, and we just gotta kind of put our heads down and keep on working. So yeah, I just really appreciate your time. I appreciate hearing your story and all the wonderful things you've done in this sport. And thanks for spending time with us here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Of course. And as always, make sure you check out The Breakside on Instagram at breakside_podcast. And this brings us to the end of episode 40. This is David Adamitis. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.